Hello and welcome to Series 5, Episode 11 of Dad Educates Daughter on 80s Music. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Dad. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. So, funny enough, one of the artists we are recording today, and obviously we're ahead of when they get released.
Yeah.
But it's her birthday. Or...
as in it's her birthday today.
I don't know if it's today or yesterday, but the way they were talking on the radio, it's, yeah, their birthday. She is 60, I'm going to have to look her up now just to quickly look. I should have done this before I started.
She, like, still going for them to be mentioning her on the radio? Is she still, like, releasing music? You know, for
it to I don't think so, because they played old music. I mean, she might be, but
so do they just mention everyone anyway?
Yeah, I mean, she last released something in 2022.
Oh, okay, so she's quite still relevant.
Relatively.
Yeah.
So she was born on the 1st of September.
So yesterday.
1957. She's 67, and we're talking about Gloria Estevan.
Okay. Well, happy birthday to her.
Yes. So, to remind our viewers who you listen to, and obviously we've just said one, Gloria Estevan, Enya, Paula Abdul, Debbie Harry, Denise Williams, and Sabrina.
Yes.
So, how did you find it?
I don't want to give too much away, but you've had two really, really good weeks. Mm-hmm. And this week could be an up there week with it, but I don't want to give too much away. Mm-hmm. I just think, do you know what? Like, this week we did have quite a difference in the women, and some of them I was a bit like, I don't know what this is about. But opinions can be changed. I think I've recognised, like, names, and I was shocked that I've recognised some of the songs. But I think I find that quite a lot anyway when I don't recognise a name and I'm like, oh, but I know this song. So I had a few of them this week. And one thing I will say, it was very hard to pinpoint genres. Not that I'm really good at it, but it was hard for me to even take a guess with some of them. So I'm intrigued with that.
Okay. So how many, if any, number ones?
Not many. Not many at all. You've got one by Enya. You've got one by Paula Abdul. And I think that's... no. And one by Denise Williams. So you've,
so
done,
you've
I've got
gone
with three.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is very low for me.
Yeah. So what are the songs by Enya, Paula Abdul and Denise Williams?
Only Time, Opposites Attract and Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Okay. Interesting. There was two number ones.
Okay.
So we will see if you are correct.
Probably not. Let's face it, 4 years in now, and I don't think I've had many correct ones.
So two number ones, but one of them wasn't in the 80s.
That doesn't always mean something to me, because you give me it in chronological order, but I could be like, Only Time was the last one you gave me. That could be in the 90s, but it could also not be. Who knows?
Yeah. And it could not be a number one, but who knows? So. Let's talk music, and let's talk the birthday girl, Gloria Estevan.
Yeah, so this was the first one where I'm like, I don't really know her genre. She doesn't come across as very 80s, like she doesn't fit in with like a, not stereotypical, like the vibe of the 80s. She doesn't fit in with like what I've had in the past, I don't think. She's very comforting to listen to, and she just comes across very familiar. Like, I feel like even because I didn't know her from Adam, and even when I was listening to her, I was like, oh, I feel like I know you. She's got
flawless. You've had her before.
Yeah, but not her music. I don't know where I've had her before, but I feel like I know, like, she's just very familiar. So maybe, okay. Maybe I had that feeling because I've had her before, but I wouldn't have had a clue. I didn't know that. So now I'm like,
obviously didn't influence you enough. You've forgotten her already.
No, you have influenced me with many, many people. I can't remember every single one, Dad, all right. You will now mention names and bands, and I'll be like, yeah, I know who they are, whereas you wouldn't have had that before. But I cannot pinpoint where every person comes from in a band. You list a lot of people.
Okay.
She's got flawless vocals. She's not bold or over the top. She's just a musician. She's very simple, casual, nothing memorable with videos, although they do change towards the end, and they got a bit random. One had a bear in it. I'm pretty sure... Oh, I can't remember. I didn't write down what video it was. But yeah, one of them had a bear in it, and I was like, well, this isn't what I've got used to.
Right. So, Gloria Estefan.
Mm-hmm.
Born Gloria Garcia.
Okay.
From Havana, Cuba. Active since 1975. She's a singer-songwriter, and her genre is Latin pop, dance pop.
Okay, yeah. And I didn't even go with pop. I wouldn't even say her music was poppy.
So, Gloria is from Spanish ancestry due to her grandparents emigrating to Cuba. During the Cuban Revolution, her family fled Cuba and settled in Miami in 1959. And set up one of the first Cuban restaurants in the city. In 1974, Gloria became a US citizen and she attended Miami University. She had graduated with a BA in psychology in 1979. She went on to work as an English, French, and Spanish translator at Miami International Airport's Customs Department, and has since said because of her language abilities, she was approached by the CIA as a possible employee. So in 1975, she met Emilio Estevan, who had formed the band Miami Latin Boys earlier that year, when they were performing at a Cuban wedding in Miami, where Gloria was a guest. Gloria also sang at the wedding, and Emilio was impressed, and he asked her to join his band, which, as she was still at university, she agreed to perform with them at weekends only.
Okay, fair enough.
However, by 1977... she had joined the band permanently, and the band changed its name from Miami Latin Boys, obviously, to the Miami Sound Machine.
Okay, right. I was going to interrupt and be like, this is where I wait to hear something I've heard of before. Okay.
So, the Miami Sound Machine, which you did have.
I did have. I recognise that. Yeah. They're not like one that stuck out, though. I couldn't tell you what they were about.
The rhythm is going to get you?
No. Okay. I bet if I listen to songs, I'd be like, oh, yeah. But, like, they're not one that stuck out, so they've obviously not left a complete imprint on me.
No, well, as you'll find out in a minute. So the band released 9 studio albums between 1977 to 1987, so 10 years, and had several hit singles. Dr. Beat. Can't you hear me, Dr. Beat?
Yeah. I do recognise that. Very well done, Dad.
The rhythm is going to get you, as I just said. The rhythm is going to get you.
No. That could be your singing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it more than that is. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. 1, 2, 3. No. And Anything For You, which I must say I can't recall that one. Dr. Beat was the big one, but Rhythm Is Gonna Get You and 1, 2, 3. Those three were
They're up there songs, they're big ones.
So following the success of Miami Sound Machine, Gloria decided to start a solo career in 1988. So the band agreed to drop their name and put future releases out as Gloria Estefan. So they were still there, but rather than the band being the main thing and her being the main, the lead singer, it's now she's the lead singer and they're just a backing band.
Right. Yeah. Like that happens quite a lot, really, doesn't it?
So, yeah. So since 1989, Gloria has been credited as the solo as a solo artist. So the first release as Gloria Estefan was a debut studio album in 1989, Cuts Both Ways. The album included the hit singles Don't Wanna Lose You, Oi Mi Canto, Here We Are, Cuts Both Ways, and Get to Your Feet. In March 1990, she was critically injured, suffering a fractured spine when a truck crashed into the tour bus during a snowstorm. She was flown by helicopter to New York's Langone Medical Center, where she underwent surgery that included having two titanium rods implanted to stabilize her vertebrae. Her rehabilitation included almost a year of intensive physical therapy, where she has said at times, where she has said at times the pain was so intense she would pass out.
I can imagine. I mean, if you've had that type of surgery and that pain.
However, she ultimately recovered completely in January 1991 and released her second album, Into the Light, and performed her new single, Coming Out of the Dark. For the first time at the American Music Awards, where she got a standing ovation. The single would go on to become her second solo number one on the Billboard Hot 100, following Don't Wanna Lose You, and was the band's third number one after Anything For You also achieved the feat in 1988. Coming Out of the Dark would be Gloria's final top 10 single on the Billboard Hot 100 and top 20 hit until her 1994 single, Turn the Beat Around, released in 1994, peaked at number 13. Although the single did make number one on the Billboard Dance chart. Gloria Estefan has won 3 Grammy Awards. 1994 Best Latin Album for Mi Tierra, M-I. 1996 Best Latin Performance for her 6th album, Abrindio Puertos. In 2001, Best Latin Album for her 9th album, Alma Carabena. Estefan has also won 5 Billboard Music Awards, plus 2 BMI Pop Awards. In 2015, Gloria and Emilio Estefan had a musical, On Your Feet, about their lives.
About their lives?
Yes.
Not many people can say that, can they?
Well, I guess it's about...
like their music.
Miami Sound Machine and then into...
moving Gloria into Estefan. Her.
So, yeah. And obviously, maybe it would have had the Miami Latin Boys.
Where he was before.
Because obviously that was Emilio Estefan.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, Gloria Estefan.
Do you think, like, anything affected her music because of, like, her surgery? You know, like, with her being in pain, like...
If anything, like, done it good, because people obviously, hence the standing ovation when she played.
Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
People may well have bought her music.
Not out of sympathy, but...
No, but because it was...
Because she kind of powered through.
She was... Her music was probably more commercial because of her accent than... Yeah. Had she carried on, had no accent and carried on,
would
it just drifted into the, other than hardcore fans, or if you're into Latin music and what have you.
So it did her well.
Her injury probably promoted her.
Yeah.
sort of
in
thing.
In its own way, because she would have been in the news for being someone that's had this accident, and people been like, who's that, maybe.
So, yes.
Bless her.
Okay, so Gloria Estefan, 1989, Don't Want to Lose You, number 6.
Okay, this is very calm. I like the music, and it's got a good build up to the chorus. It was a very good, it was a good start to the week.
Okay. 1989, Oi Mi Canto, or in brackets, Hear My Voice in English, number 16.
It's got a catchy beat. You don't really know what she's singing, but no. I think that's like quite fast paced. Obviously, it's not in English, but it is still catchy and draws your attention into it.
1989, Get On Your Feet, number 23.
This was my favourite. I feel like I've heard it before. This was where I was like, you're very familiar, but I didn't actually recognise it. It just felt like a familiar song. Gets you moving. Very catchy, very upbeat, very, very me.
Okay. So now we're going into the 90s, because obviously Yeah, because obviously during the 80s, she was with the band. I mean, she still is, but
yeah,
and in effect, she, I mean, the band was it, but obviously the logistics or the diagnostics, however you want to look at it, of the band has changed, and now it's more her than the band. So 1990, Here We Are, number 23.
Calm, slow and steady. It was a nice, it's like an album filler.
1991, Coming Out of the Dark, number 25.
This shows off her vocals, was a good build up. I was a bit iffy at first when I listened to it. It was one of those where I think you have to listen to more than once to get a solid opinion on it.
1991, Seal Our Fate, number 24.
This was a bit more upbeat for her, very fast-paced. But it was a bit different for her. Usually she's got a bit more of a calmness to her, so that changed.
1991, Remember Me With Love, number 22.
There's not much going on in this one, but this was my least favourite.
Mm-hmm. Number 91, Live For Loving, number 33.
Yeah, I felt more of a shift in a vibe with these last ones. And this is where I thought she got into the 90s. Whereas obviously she's been in for a lot longer. But I thought, there's a...
Well, no, it's... I mean, you're still only in 1991. She just released...
A lot.
I don't know if they're off the same album or anything. But yeah, they're... Because as I just said, she's had quite a few...
Yeah, there's quite a few in the same...
albums. Yeah. Didn't actually say it on the...
No, you did. You said she's had 9, I think.
But... In 2001, she won the Best Latin Album for her 9th album, Alma Carabina.
So she's had loads.
Yeah. 15 albums in total between 1989 and 2022.
Wow. Good going for her.
And that's not including what she did with Miami Sound Machine as well.
That's just her.
That's just as Gloria Estefan. So 1992, Always Tomorrow, number 24.
This was just pure singing, very raw. And I feel like this was very her. This was what I had at the beginning that I got into before there was a shift.
Okay. 1992, Miami Hit Mix, number 8.
This feels familiar. It's more upbeat and it's like got a dance party kind of vibe to it.
And then 1993, Go Away, number 13.
This is where I was like, it's very 90s. This was where I could have written something for genre. Because I thought she only went into the 90s at the end, I didn't. Because I know not all of her music has been this. And now we know that this weren't her genre anyway. But I was like, bit of house, bit of dance. It doesn't really suit her compared to her early stuff, and it's a very repetitive song. So, yeah, weren't too much of a fan of that one.
Okay. Moving on to Enya.
Enya. Again, don't know her genre. I just think she's Irish, and I can't think of a genre that comes from Irish people. But there's a... You know, oh, you know, like Scotland have the bagpipes. There's a vibe that Irish people
do.
The Irish dance it. I feel like there's that type of music in her songs, you know, like the background music. So I think she's Irish. I could be way off.
It's like windpipes or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's something in there. And I was like, I'm getting Irish vibes, but I don't know if it's a whole genre. So I just went with Irish. Right.
Okay.
I think if you're listening, like to us talking right now, so our listeners, you should let the songs do the talking, because I don't know who was putting them in the charts. And maybe I'm mishearing the songs and not getting it. Maybe there's something I'm not getting. So if
do you want to be shocked? I've got two of her albums.
Nah, you went, Dad. Dad, I might have to stop. You're getting worse. I don't want to give too much away, but I have given too much away. I think maybe I'm mishearing them. So if anyone can enlighten me of how these got in the charts, I'd love to know the attraction to them. And I feel like it's got a very sound of music. You know, like it's just very classical. I think. I don't really know. Her videos didn't really imprint much on me because I was kind of like listening to the songs, still trying to understand them. But some of the videos are like home videos, lots of flashing through clips and having scenery in the background. But that's her. I can't really remember what she looks like, if I'm honest.
So funny enough, I've also got...
Go on.
Marie Gloria Estefan.
Albums. Oh, okay, yeah, but that's not awful.
So, or on cassette, by the way. Oh, yes. And here we go.
Dad's a cassette man. I just wouldn't have that down as you. Wouldn't put you down as a Enya fan.
Well, it was at a time when there was, I don't know, you had Enya and you had Enigma, which was like monk music, and I've got their album as well. Sadness part one, part two, something like that. So yes, anyway, so you said you don't know what she looks like. There you go. There's
I do remember her. It's more I just didn't remember what she looked like. Like I do know what she looks like, I just didn't focus on that part, you know, like usually I'd be like, oh, they're casual, they're very 80. I just didn't even focus on what she looked like.
Okay, so Enya, born Ethen Padregan Ni Buranen, or something around those lines, because you know what I'm like at pronouncing and
you just do
say phonetic. As you see. I mean, her first name is spelt E-I-T-H-N-E.
E-I-T-H-N-E.
Ethne? Okay, Ethne? Yeah. I don't know.
That's a new one, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, bearing in mind, for, you know, Ireland, you got Neve, spelt... spelt, what was it? How do you spell Neve?
N-I-A-N-H.
Yeah, Nima. Nima. Not Neve.
Nymph.
So Enya... Hey?
So she is Irish.
I'm just about to say, she is from Dora. Gwendor, or Gwydor. County Donegal in Ireland.
Okay, so the Irish vibes were there for a reason. Yes, okay, I'll take that. At least I'll take that she is Irish and she's got something in homage to her homeland.
She's been active since 1980. She is a singer-songwriter and her genre is Celtic New Age and pop.
Pop. Give over.
So Enya was raised in the Irish-speaking region of Gwydor, playing alongside her family's folk band, Clannad.
Oh, okay, so she's been in the music since young.
Yeah. Who had a top five single with the theme from Harry's Game in 1982. I never gave you Clannad. I'd forgotten about them, to be honest. But yeah, they had one hit. They were like a one-hit wonder as far as commercial went. However, Enya had left just before the success of the song to pursue her solo career. So over the next 4 years, she developed her sound by combining multi-tracked vocals and keyboards with elements from a variety of musical genres like Celtic, classical,
Celtic, Irish, word, isn't it?
Celtic.
That's the word.
Classical, Irish folk, jazz, and even hip hop. The early releases of Enya were piano synthesizer instruments for soundtrack projects like the Frog Prince in 1985. She also composed work for the BBC and a 1986 documentary named The Celts, of which a selection of pieces were released on her debut album Enya in 1987. So the chairman of Warner Music, Rob Dickens, found himself enjoying the music, and he met Enya with her manager and producer, Nicky Ryan, and his partner, Roma, who Enya had teamed up with, as Nicky was Clannad's former manager. The trio agreed to sign with Warner Music UK, and the release of Enya's second studio album, Watermark, good album, was released in 1988 and propelled Enya to worldwide success, primarily through her international hit single, Orinoco Flow, Sail Away, Sail Away, Sail Away.
Do you know what they're saying? See, this is what I mean. I just think I've missed what it is.
Which reached number one in Belgium, Ireland, Netherlands, and Switzerland, and while peaking at number two in both New Zealand and Germany, making the top 40 on the US Billboard Hot 100 and number 24, so coming inside the top 30, which is quite big really for this kind of music. The single made the top 10, bearing in mind we've already said where it got to number one and number two.
Yeah.
In Australia, number six, as well as Austria, number eight, Canada, number four, Denmark, number six, Finland, number five, and Norway, number five. And even in France, number 16, and Italy, number 20, it made the top 20. So pretty much throughout Europe or even worldwide, it was in the top 20. And obviously in the US, it got into the top 30.
I'm intrigued as where it came here then. It's going to be one of my number ones.
Further album releases, Shepherd Moons, another good album. There we go.
You're really, really odd.
That was released in 1991. The Memory of Trees was released in 1995, and A Day Without Rain was released in 2000. Saw Enya become a multi-million selling artist, while sales of A Day Without Rain was helped as lead single Only Time was used throughout media coverage of the 9/11 attack. So the World Trade Center attacks, they used the Only Time music for the media shortage of it. Following two studio albums, Amarantine
That's a bit depressing to be able to say. Well, yeah, mine was it like you have to boast about
it. I don't think it's something you're going to hear. Obviously, it helped the single.
Yeah.
So her following two studio albums, Amarantine in 2005 and Winter Came in 2008 were not as successful, and Enya took a four-year break from the music industry. She returned to the studio in 2012 to begin work on her eighth studio album, Dark Sky Island, which was eventually released in 2015. Although rumours had been around of a new release, and even Enya was cryptic when writing in a statement following the release of A Box of Dreams in June 2023, that a vinyl a Box of Dreams that was released in 2023, which was a vinyl compilation of her music, she wrote this: "We will meet again soon. However, nothing has since happened, even though it was the 35th anniversary of Watermark in September 2023 and was notably quiet." So everyone was expecting, because nothing was really done about it, and other than this compilation of her hits, so to speak, on vinyl, was released in June 2023 with this statement, "We will meet again soon." So everyone was expecting something for the 35th anniversary, maybe a new album, whatever. Nothing. And it was very quiet even around the 35th anniversary of Watermark.
That was last year.
Yeah.
And we've still not heard
nothing. Yeah, nothing. Nothing other than, as I say, in June when she wrote in the cover, "We will meet again soon." Well, that's how been over a year. So yeah,
how quick she just wants people to be like, be, I don't know what she wants, but it's a bit odd.
So Enya won 5 Billboard awards and 4 Grammy awards throughout her career.
Okay, you lot are weird. You're weird as well.
Good music, Orinoco Flow. So Enya, 1988, Orinoco Flow, number one.
As soon as you were talking about it, I knew it would be.
Sail away.
I did recognise it. You don't really know what she's saying. There's not much to it. It does grab your attention a little bit. Yeah.
1988, Evening Falls. Number 20.
Very classical, and I legit put, "What even is this?"
1991, Caribbean Blue, number 13.
It's just sounds and music put together. Like, I don't understand her part in some of this. If you told me that she was, like, part composer, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I understand. But I just don't understand the concept.
Okay, I got to number 13. 1991, How Can I Keep From Singing, number 32.
This could be a national anthem. Maybe Ireland should take it up as their national anthem. It just sounds very national anthem-like. That's all I could say about it.
Okay. 1992, Book of Days, gave her her second top 10 hit. You thought I was going to say second number one then.
I did. I was about to be like, what?
No, it got to number 10.
It's got some electric sounds in it, but only slightly, so it changed it from the others a bit.
Okay, 1992, The Celts, number 29.
I just feel like I'm constantly waiting. I'm like, what? When's it going to start, kind of thing? Like, it's just music is the focus.
So it's got no beat or no, you know, like chorus or anything.
Yeah. It's kind of... Okay. There, that's what I mean. Like, I need people to explain to me, because obviously you can tell me a background and whatnot, but maybe you can tell me, like, what's the attraction to her? You've got 2 albums.
I just like the music. You got to remember, in the 80s we had all this new music, especially the end of the 80s. I wasn't into hip-hop and house,
it's
come out, and as I say, Enigma come out a bit late. Obviously they were in the 90s, and it was just different music, and it just grabbed you, and it got to number one, Orinoco Flow, and it done well worldwide.
Yeah, look at all of her others, they're like barely top 30s. So she had one good hit, carried on with it, didn't get anywhere.
2 top 10s. We've The others are all, so we had a number 13, Caribbean Blue. Yeah. And a top 20, How Can I Keep, from number 32. The Celts, number 29. 1995, Anywhere is number 7.
This was a bit more upbeat and you can actually hear her singing. But I still don't get the music. I just don't get why you'd buy an album.
I bought two.
But then, like, would you go buy
a musical album? I think I bought the second one because I liked the first one, but the second one was a bit disappointing. Really. Although it's got Book of Days on it.
Back in the day, you would put that on in your car driving around.
Definitely that, the Watermark one. Yeah, that was a good album, Watermark.
Do you like classical music?
It's not classical, is it?
It is. Oh. May as well be. It's not. Nothing else classical. Really to it.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
That's the only one you can sing, and that's the only bit you can sing, because there's nothing else to them.
It's just catchy. 1996, On the Way Home, number 26.
Again, classical. Really not much to it.
Okay. And lastly, yeah. The one you said was number one.
Yeah.
2000 it was released. Only Time. Number
32. See, I thought the only reason I thought it was a number one is because I recognised it and thought it had been in like an advert or something. Obviously, you've then said it was used for the Twin Towers, so I was like, oh, might be in here with my number one. But no, apparently not. I just recognised it, that's why. I just thought, and that one, you could actually hear her singing. It was quite calming, quite nice. I didn't have a favourite, by the way, just in case you've realised.
Orinoco Flow, surely. Moving on to Paula Abdul.
Yes. Again, don't really know a genre. We're not doing well with genres this week, but I did pre-warn you. I recognise her name, but I feel like she's been an actress or something. I just don't put her as a musician or a singer. And I feel like I've known her name before this. And I don't know why. Less is more in her eyes. In some of the music videos, but also in others, she's very 80s, so I don't know where I stand with her and what she is trying to appeal with her videos. But yeah, we get like not many songs from her. She had a bit of a different vibe going on through the songs, which you'll find out when I talk about them. But yeah, more like intrigued as to her background. Why do I know her name?
I think I know why you know her name, but we'll come to that. So Paula Abdul from San Fernando in California. Active since 1978. She's a singer, dancer, and her genres are R&B, pop, dance, and new jack swing.
Okay. Do you know what? Now you said them, I'm like, yeah, they do fit in. I could have probably had a go, but I think because their music's like a bit different, I didn't really know where to put it in, what box to put it in. But now you said that, I'm like, yeah. I feel that.
Tony Basil, if you remember her a couple of weeks ago.
Paula
started her career as a cheerleader for the LA Lakers basketball team. At 18, where she became head choreographer for the Laker Girls and was later discovered by the Jacksons and became their choreographer, and later choreographed for Janet Jackson. For Janet Jackson's music videos, and was in the business at the height of the music video era, and was soon signed up herself by Virgin Records. So her debut studio album, Forever Your Girl, released in 1988 and became one of the most successful debut albums at the time, when selling 7 million copies in the US alone and setting a record for the most number one charting singles, for the most charting single from a debut album. On the Billboard Hot 100 with Straight Up, Forever Your Girl, Gold Hearted, and Opposites Attract, all reaching the top spot. Her second studio album, Spellbound, released in 1991, saw two more singles top the Billboard Hot 100 in Rush and The Promise of a New Day. With six number ones on the Billboard Hot 100, Paula was tied with Diana Ross in third for the most chart-topping singles among female artists of all time, behind Madonna, who had nine, and Whitney Houston, who had nine. However, she has since been overtaken by Mariah Carey with 19, Rihanna with 14, Taylor Swift with 12, and Janet Jackson with 10. So while Paula Abdul has sort of stayed on 6, Madonna has gone from 9 to 12, and Whitney Houston 9 to 11. So they would still be up
amongst still them. Up there. Yeah.
Paula Abdul has since been a judge on American TV series of X Factor. Singer, Live to Dance, and So You Think You Can Dance.
So I've never watched the American version, but obviously you see things, don't you? And I did nearly put, has she been in any reality TV series? But I was like, maybe that's putting her down a bit. But maybe I should have. That's why I know her name.
And sorry, I missed a bit out. Which I should have said before that. So following the release of her third studio album, Head Over Heels, which didn't have the success of her two previous albums, along with the three release singles, My Love Is For Real, now, which was a non-charter on the Billboard Hot 100, Crazy Cool, which got to number 58, and Ain't Never Gonna Give You Up, another non-charter. And the album only charted at number 18, which is good on the Billboard Hot 200, but obviously not so good compared to her other one. And it only got to number 61 in the UK compared to the Forever Your Girl, which got to number 1 on the Hot 200 and number 3 in the UK, while Spellbound, her second album, also got to number 1 on the Hot 100. And it got to number 4 in the UK. So when you look at those two number ones and a number, 3 and 4, suddenly you're looking at number 18 and number 61. So a big difference. And as I say, she had all those number ones and two non-charters and a number 58.
As that is still a good placing in the charts, comparing it, it has gone down a bit, hasn't it?
Just a little bit, yeah. Also, the breakup of her marriage to film star Emilio Estevez saw her step away from the music business and forge a new career on TV. And hence, she's obviously then become judges on TV series. You'll probably know her from The X Factor, the American.
I think she might have
guested over here as well.
Maybe. I've never watched the American one. I've seen clips and have heard of her name. That she's done it, you know, not when you just see.
So, Paula Abdul. 1988, Knocked Out, got to number 98. It was then re-released in 1989 and got to number 45.
Oh my goodness.
Then had a remix by Pettibone. I don't know who this is. But they released a remix in 1990, and it eventually got into the top 40 at number 21.
So the remix got in.
It was a remix.
Her original never did that great.
No.
Right. This is a more focus on the music, but it does get you moving.
1989, Straight Up, number 3.
Do you know what I really like about this one? The tap dancing bit. At the beginning, she does little tappity taps. And I was like, oh, you're very talented. Like when you said you're the dancer, I forgot to mention that bit. It's very catchy and it's very to the point.
1989, Forever Your Girl, number 24.
This had a very 80s feel and was a head bopper.
Okay. 1990. Bear in mind, I did say that there was a number one outside of the 80s.
Yeah.
And you did say that Opposites Attract could get to number one.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you it was in the top 10 in the UK. Not only that, it was in the top 5.
Okay.
It got to number uno de two.
Uno de.
Well,
uno de.
Not uno.
That's more like
number two.
Uno de. this was my favourite. It's got a good addition on, with the rapping with, to it. Have you watched the video as well?
I would have probably remember it at the time. But
character,
yeah, I was going to say, hasn't it got a cartoony?
Yeah. So I like the video as well. I think that's why I made it my favourite. Like, just like the whole thing put together.
Okay. Bear in mind, all these, as I said, you know, she had what, however many number ones in. In, so Straight Up got to number one. Forever Your Girl got to number one. Gold Hearted, which either wasn't released over here or didn't chart. Opposites Attract got to number one. And then from Spellbound, what I'm about to say, 1991, Rush Rush got to number six.
Okay, I was going to say, no way can this be one. This hasn't got much going for it. It's a bit repetitive.
1992, Vibology, number 19.
This was a change in tone, but it's very fun. It's an original song, I'd say. Like, you don't get many like it. And very upbeat. I enjoyed that.
And then finally, 1995, My Love Is For Real, number 28.
I'm sorry. This was a complete change, and it just wasn't needed at the end of her. Yeah, didn't enjoy that end.
Right. As we move on to Debbie Harry.
Yeah. So not many to go by, but I've gone for soft rock as a genre. She just feels a bit of an odd woman. The music's a bit mismatched and she changes her style quite often in the videos. Like, I feel like you've got one that's quite dark and then she goes to like clean and pure. And I'm like, I can't keep up with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've already spoken about Debbie Harry in the groups. So she was born Angela Trimble from Miami, Florida. She's been active since 1966. She's a singer-songwriter and she's genres rock, new wave, disco, pop and punk rock. So, Debbie was adopted as an infant and grew up in New Jersey as Debbie Harry. After college, she worked in various jobs as a dancer, a Playboy bunny, and as a secretary before her breakthrough in the music industry. In 1974, she co-formed the band Blondie and had four number ones between 1979 and 1981.
I don't recognise that name.
Well, she was Blondie. Debbie Harry was
even
Blondie.
Even her voice doesn't sound like Blondie in the like this.
Mm.
So I didn't even be like, I recognise like the voice or the vocals or anything.
So, yeah. So just going back. So she was adopted. And she changed her name, obviously her surname, to Harry, which was her new adopted parent. But she also changed her first name to Debbie.
Yeah, I did think that was weird.
Angela Trimble.
Yeah, I did think that was weird when you. But then she was adopted as an infant.
Yeah, so.
It wouldn't have been her.
No.
So, like, completely off topic. My friend's first and second name, she's adopted. They aren't the same.
Uh-huh.
Her middle name is what her original name was.
Okay. So in 1981, Harry released a solo album Cuckoo. That's K-O-O-K-O-O, not Cuckoo.
Oh, okay.
Like during that. The band's hiatus. So right. Her debut album, right. Cuckoo, produced by Nile Rodgers of Chic, reached mm-hmm. number 25 on the Billboard Hot 200 and number 6 in the UK album charts. Two singles were released, Backfired, which reached number 20, number 2, was that, I can't see, no, 26 in Australia, and number 32 in the UK, and was number 43 on the US Billboard chart. And while second single, The Jam Was Moving, only charted in the US at number 82. So by 1982, Blondie had split. Following this, following the release of their sixth album, and then Harry appeared in several movies and later on was in Hairspray. Then in 1986, Harry released her second studio album, Rock Bird, which peaked at number 97 in the US and number 31 in the UK, which gave Harry and the single French Kissing in the USA, which gave Harry her only top 10 solo single. Other singles released were Free to Fall, number 46 in the UK, and the Stock Aitken and Waterman produced In Love with Love, which flopped at number 45 in the UK.
Oh, you don't get and that number, often.
No, not from them. And not number 70 on the Billboard Hot 100. However, it did make number 1 on the Billboard Dance Club Chart songs. Debbie then recorded the song Liar Liar for the soundtrack to 1988's Married to the Mob, which starred Hugh Grant. And then in 1989, Harry released her third studio solo album, Deaf, Dumb and Blonde, and reverted from Debbie Harry to Deborah Harry as her professional name. The first single released, I Want That Man, charted in the top 10 in Australia at number 2, New Zealand number 8, and Ireland at number 7. While reaching number 2 on the Billboard Alternative Airplay chart. The single helped the album reach number 12 on the UK album chart. However, in the US, it only reached number 123 on the Hot 200 chart. Blamed by Harry on the record company in the US, giving it very little promotion. Harry then released two further albums, Deprivation in 1993 and Necessary Evil in 2007. Then Blondie reformed in 1997 before splitting again in 2007. So she released Deprivation in 1993.
Yeah.
Blondie reformed then in 1997. They split in 2007 and then she released Necessary Evil.
Right.
So there was that part in between her last two albums or her last. So she had a 1993 album. Blondie obviously then got back together. They then again split and then she released her final album. So Debbie Harry, Blondie, as she was also. So no, although that was the band. Yeah. 1981, Backfired, got to number 32.
Yeah, there weren't much to that. There's not really any singing in it. It's more like the talking singing as well.
1986, French Kissing in the USA, number 8.
Again, I'm waiting for the vocals. Nothing's happening in it. And, like, now I know that she's from Blondie, I'm even more shocked. I'm like, how? How do you change that much?
1989, I Want That Man, number 13.
Okay, that was my favourite. Got a good beat and it's got a good chorus.
And in 1993, I Can See Clearly, number 23.
This went quite harsh, and I feel like her vocals could have been stronger to match the music. It let her down a bit.
Okay. Moving on then to Denise Williams.
Yes. So I've gone with soul and R&B for her genre. She's a bit of a mix. She's got some strong vocals and is also calming, but she's got a good feel to her. She's got some good upbeat songs with her, about her. Not going to lie, not many, like none of the videos really stood out to me. Nothing really to comment on that. Again, didn't have like too many songs. What I like about this week is like where I've like usually we get towards the end and I've got like two or three songs for them, but all of them had like a nice amount of songs this week. That was quite nice. I didn't have to stray too much away from them.
So Denise Williams, born June Denise Chandler, from Gary, Indiana. Active since 1968, she's a singer, and her genres are soul, R&B, disco, pop, and gospel.
Okay.
So she started out singing in a club called Casino Royal, part-time, alongside working as a telephone company. Mm-hmm. She also worked as a ward clerk at the Chicago Mercy Hospital. She started recording as Denise Chandler for the Todlin Town group of labels. One of those early records, I'm Walking Away, on Todlin's subsidiary Lock Records in the late 1960s, and was a favourite on the English Northern Soul scene. So the Northern Soul, which is where Mark Almond is inspired by, and obviously the song.
Okay. I was going to say we've heard
their song. I think of their song now. Mark Almond's group. My mind has gone blank completely.
Mark Almond's group?
Yeah, the group. What's the band? Mark Almond. Oh, God. Soft Cell. Their big hit is from English Northern Soul.
Tainted Love?
Yes. So that was a single that they re-recorded or covered. And it was from, it was actually to do with Mark Allman's partner, I remember. So yeah, but anyway, that was to do with the Northern Soul scene. And that is what Denise Williams went to. So yeah. Right. So she had a brief spell in 1969 with Patti Hamilton's The Lovelets, or The Lovelights, whatever you want to say. And it resulted in her being lead singer on the track I'm Not Like the Others. A track which was eventually released in 1999, so only 30 years later.
Oh, wow.
So that's during the 70s...
That didn't get released until 1999.
It didn't get released until 1999, even though she was singing on it in 1969.
I don't understand why that happens and how that happens.
So it's obviously an album track, and then that got released as a single.
Yeah.
So during the 70s, Denise was backing singer Stevie Wonder and appeared on the albums Talking Book, Fulfilling This, First Finale, and Songs in the Key of Life. She also appeared on Roberta Flack's 1975 album, Feel Like Making Love, and her 1977's Blue Lights in the Basement. She left Stevie Wonder in 1975 to sign a deal with Columbia Records, releasing her debut album, This Is Niecy, under her now married name, Denise Williams, in 1976, and it charted at number 3 on the Billboard R&B chart and number 33 on the Billboard Hot 200 album chart.
Good going.
While the single Free was a top 10 hit in the UK and reached number 2 on the Billboard R&B singles chart. While follow-up single That's What Friends Are For was also a top 10 hit in the UK. And then her second studio album was released, Songbird, in 1977. And the album got to number 23 on the Billboard Soul Albums chart, while the single reached number 13 on the Billboard Hot Soul Songs chart. In 1977, also saw Williams duet with Johnny Mathis on the single Too Much, Too Little, Too Late, which got to number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100, the Billboard Soul chart, and the Billboard Easy Listening chart. It's also number 1 on the Adult Contemporary chart in Canada.
Doing quite well.
So it got to number 1 across the board, yeah, pretty much, yeah, in the US, as well as Canada.
Yeah.
This led to Williams releasing a duet album with Johnny Mathis called That's What Friends Are For, which charted number 19 on the Billboard Hot 200. Williams' fourth studio album, When Love Comes Calling, was released in 1979 by ARC Records, a subsidiary of Columbia Records, with the album reaching number 27 on the Billboard Top Soul Album chart. While the single, I've Got the Next Dance, reached number 1 on the Billboard Dance Club Play chart. And just so you know, it's a bit weird, but the Soul Album, I think, is also the R&B album chart.
Yeah.
Because they call it what they sometimes call it that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Which was a bit,
like they go
a bit confusing at times.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In 1981, Williams released her fifth studio album, My Melody, which peaked at number 13 on the Billboard Top Soul Album chart. While 1982's Niecy, bear in mind she's already released an album, Niecy, before, that reached number 5 on the same chart. While the lead single, It's Gonna Take a Miracle, peaked at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 and got to number 1 on the Billboard R&B chart. In 1983, Williams released her seventh studio album, So I'm So Proud, which reached number 10 on the Billboard R&B / Soul Album chart. As I say, it was confusing. While lead single Do What You Feel got to number 9 on the Billboard R&B Soul Single chart, while the title single, I'm So Proud, peaked at number 28 on the Billboard R&B Soul chart. Single chart. In 1984, Williams released her eighth studio album. I mean, she's literally chucking out albums every year.
Yeah, she's not messing about, is she?
So the album was called Let's Hear It for the Boy, with the album reaching number 26 on the Billboard Hot 200. And number 10 on the Billboard Soul chart, while the title track was number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100, the Billboard Hot Soul Singles, and the Billboard Dance Club Play charts. Additionally, the single was featured on the Footloose soundtrack, and Williams would release a further 5 studio albums in the late 80s and another 4 following the 80s. In total, Williams released 17 studio albums between 1976 and 2007. And I would say the majority of those were in the 80s. She won 3 Grammy Awards.
I'm sure she did get burned out, you know. You know, sometimes it happens when they're releasing, and you will go, yeah, they took a break. I'm surprised that didn't happen to her. She must just have a passion for music.
So she won 3 Grammy Awards in the late 80s and 90s for her gospel performances, as her music sound changed after the success of Let's Hear It for the Boy. And yeah, and sorry, that's it. Yeah. So it's pretty much after Let's Hear It for the Boy, that is when, for whatever reason, she obviously felt she couldn't beat that.
Yeah.
And went back to what she obviously, maybe it's what she always wanted to do with the gospel sound. Mm. And it won her Grammy Awards, the gospel sound.
I mean, that's what she won. So she went with it.
It wasn't commercial, or certainly not over here. Yeah.
It was still recognised.
Anything's commercial in America because it's such a, they have such, yeah, you know, so country broad. And gospel and pop and hip hop, yeah, you know.
It's so broad that you
can anything. But you could probably, but yeah, she went from very commercial with her music to gospel,
a bit more on the down,
which wasn't
still
commercial worldwide,
yeah,
but it get us three Grammy Awards.
So she's not complaining.
So, Denise Williams. Now, you gave her a number one for Let's Hear It
for the Boy. I did.
Now, we said that there was two number ones this week.
Uh-huh.
And we've had one.
Mm-hmm. This is my
not
last
the one
chart.
You thought it was Enya.
Yeah, I got the right
it
answer.
It wasn't the song you no. also thought Paula Abdul, which she only got number two for the song you
but
thought
that's still one. High. That's still good for my guess.
Yeah. So Denise Williams. Now I also said that one of the number ones is Outside the 80s.
And we've not had that one yet.
We haven't had that. Denise Williams, 1977. She released Free. Got to number two on the Billboard R&B singles chart. Mm. Over here, got to number one.
Nah, really?
Free was number one in the UK in 1977 for Denise Williams.
Awful, but it's not a number one. It's calming, swaying, and it's very good.
Did you just say awful?
I said it's not awful.
Oh, sorry, I just said awful. I was going to say awful, no. But it's a number four, eh?
No, it's not awful, but it's not a number one in my eyes.
Okay.
But it's very calming, and it has got good vocals on it.
Also 1977. That's What Friends Are For, number eight.
Good song. I like the lyrics of this one. It was nice to just listen to the actual lyrics.
Still, now the reason I'm giving you a load of sets is because she didn't do much in the 80s over here. Even though she was churning out all these albums and singles in America, none of them were released over here. Or if they were, they certainly didn't make the charts. So
right.
1977 again, Baby My Love Is All For You, number 32.
Okay, this is soft, but a bit more in the background. Again, it's got the strong vocals. It's just a bit lesser of a song.
Okay, and now the duet with Johnny Mathis, 1978, Too Much, Too Little, Too Late. Got to number one across the board. In America. Mm-hmm. Over here we got to number three.
Still good going. It's my favourite out of the years. He's got a very good voice. I think it's a very good duet. Carmen, it's just that pure singing. Like it's just, you know, that talent. Just what it's meant to be.
Okay. And in 1984, Let's Hear It for the Boy. It's definitely an 80s song, you know, it's such a and it's obviously on that soundtrack of Footloose.
Yeah.
It got to number two.
Okay, so at least when I've said, oh, they're number one, they have been up there. So I've recognised it as well. Obviously now I know why. It's catchy and you can sing your heart out with it. And then I wrote catchy again. It's that catchy.
Okay, moving on to Sabrina.
There's not much I can say. It's just all about the boys. It's not really about the music. But if you take away the video, no, I can't even. I want to say if you take away the videos, it's not awful, but that's a bit of an understatement. You asked me to definitely watch a video.
Yes.
What on earth? how was that allowed to be released? I literally sat through it and I was like, how has this been allowed to make it? That would have been on MTV.
Yeah.
Like, I was a bit disgusted watching it. I was a bit like, what on earth? It's awful. Like, go get a bikini that fits. Like, for one. Like, she definitely would have got people talking. That's why.
That's what it was. That's what it was. I mean, you got to think this is... I mean, it's later on in the 80s, the boys bit.
Yeah.
You got to think that's how people... You either done a really good video, like, you know, Dire Straits, Duran Duran, Ultravox, Aha. You know, they had these really impactful... Yeah. Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer. It really impactful. You shocked and awed, like Frankie Goes to Hollywood, although their lyrics done that on its own without the video. And Sabrina definitely did that. So,
but what's the point? And her music is all about boys. Even her music, take the video away, her music is still like a sex appeal.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's just what she was. Like, why would you bother?
So Sabrina, also known as Sabrina Salerno, which was her full name.
I thought that because one of the videos was that, and I was like, am I watching the right one?
Yeah, yeah. So she's from Genoa in Italy, so she's Italian. Active since 1986. She's a singer-songwriter, and her genre is Italo disco, high energy, Eurobeat, dance pop and pop. Sabrina was brought up by her aunt in Genoa before moving to live with her grandparents in San Remo, and at 15 moved to live with her mother. So while growing up, she sang in the local choir at the Catholic church.
It gets better.
And she formed a pop group at school with her friends. After winning a beauty contest in her native region, Liguria, Sabrina started modelling, and in 1984 she made her television debut on prime time on the channel Canal 5. Then in 1986, her debut single, Sexy Girl, sang in English, was released and was a top hit in Italy. In late 1987, she released her debut studio album, Sabrina, which was sung entirely in English, which in Italy, I suppose, is quite novel in itself, you know, that she's singing in English.
So
as well as Sexy Girl, the album had the single Boy Summertime Love, which reached number one in France and Switzerland, as well as being a top five hit in Italy, Belgium, Finland, Germany, Netherlands and Sweden. While the third single, Hot Girl, was top 10 in Belgium and the Netherlands. The single Boys, Summertime Love, gained popularity as much for its video, which saw Sabrina dancing around in a pool in a bikini that often slipped to reveal her nipples. Worldwide, the song sold more than 1.5 million copies worldwide.
Because of the video.
Probably because of the video. And in 1988, Sabrina won Best European Singer at the Festival Bar, trying to say something foreign that's not. Festival Bar event. Her second studio album, Super Sabrina, released in July 1988, saw her Stock, Aitken and Waterman produced single All Boy Oh Boy get to number two in Finland and was a top 20 hit in Italy, France, Germany and Switzerland. with Matt Aitken saying, as a singer, she was pretty decent. I didn't write this, but he also said, however, she didn't turn up to record as we'd wanted. So she dressed quite conservatively, and they were obviously expecting something from the video.
They were expecting a bit more.
But he wouldn't get away with saying that sort of thing now, obviously.
No.
So Sabrina would release 6 studio albums in total between 1987 and 2008, but never saw the commercial success of Boys, Summertime Love again. She also appeared in 8 films, mainly Italian, and several Italian TV series. However, it is for her appearance in her music video, Boys, Summertime Love, that many will remember her best for.
Yeah. By many, men.
So, Sabrina, in 1988, released Boys, Summertime Love, and thanks to the video, I'd guess, it got to number 3 in the UK.
Bluminac. I recognise the lyrics, like the beat of it a bit. Don't know why. It's quite repetitive. It's quite memorable, the song as well, to be fair. It's just all about boys. Out of the two, that's my favourite. But the video ruins it. Goes down in my estimation.
And in 1988, All of Me got to number 25. Unfortunately, that didn't have a video as good to go with it.
No.
I'm sure it'd have done much better otherwise.
Probably. It's fast paced and it's quite similar to the other one, to be fair.
Okay. So now it comes down to, did I influence you at all in any of these? And my gut is, it's a 3 out of 6.
That's fine.
So, Gloria Estefan.
Hit, but I was on the fence for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Enya. Remember, I've got 2 of her albums if you want to borrow one.
Miss.
But you need a tape machine.
Cassette player tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need a cassette player to play it.
Miss. We're good. Move on.
You're missing out.
But if anyone wants to tell me what the attraction is, like what is good about her, I will happily sit and listen to someone explain to me what they like about her. I'll happily sit and take that on board.
We've got our Twitter, X as it's now known, at Dad Educates, where they can get hold of us and maybe tell you how good Orinoco Flow and some of the other tracks were.
I just don't
get
it.
Back in its day.
So, yeah.
Now we go on to the American X Factor judge, Paula Abdul.
She is a hit. I just don't like the last song. So until, if you just take that out, I'd listen to it.
Which was 1995, so it wasn't an 80s song.
Yeah, so in the 80s, she is, a bit of me.
Okay, Blondie, otherwise known as in her solo career as her name, Debbie, she later went by.
She's a miss.
I thought so.
Just weren't feeling her. And I'm even more shocked that she's from Blondie.
But there's 2 good songs there with French Kissing in the USA and I Want That Man.
No, I didn't like French Kissing in the USA. That was awful. I Want That Man was good. That was my favourite. But
French Kissing in the USA. French Kissing in the USA.
No.
Nis Williams, although, a lot of her songs were pre-80s. Did have a big hit in the 80s. And she did do well outside of the UK, but as we know, UK artists don't necessarily do well in America and vice versa, Americans in the UK. But she had a number one, albeit in 1977, and she did have Let's Hear It for the Boy, which got to number 2, which is a very 80s song in my eyes. Yeah. So how did she do for you?
She's a hit with me. I did enjoy those songs. Couldn't really pick anything out that I was like, don't like you.
Okay. And finally, Sabrina.
Miss.
Obviously, you loved her video and would go out and buy Boys Summertime Love. Boys.
It is catchy, but I wouldn't ever put her on again. And knowing that that's her video, I would never put her on again anyway. Blooming awful. Like, that's just disgusts.
So, as I predicted, 3 out of 6 hits.
Right. You got it right. Come on, Em, what you got for me next week?
So, next week, we have the following. Now, just so you know, it's the 1 week where you've got 7 artists.
Oh, that's not happened in a long time.
No. So, let's see how many you know. Alison Moyet.
No.
You have had her before.
Of course.
Then you'd had 2
am.
This week and you didn't know. Gloria Estefan, Miami Sound Machine, Debbie Harry, Blondie. Alison Moyet, I won't tell you, I won't give it away, but she was in a group as well. Nope. Natalie Cole.
Nope.
Tracy Ullman.
Nope.
Kirsty McCall.
No.
Jennifer Warnes.
No.
Tracy. I.E. that is, not E.Y.
Oh, that's her name, Tracy. No.
And Phyllis Nelson.
No. I think this is the first time that's ever really happened. I don't know any of
for
them.
A while. Yeah. As I say, you would know what. I'm surprised you didn't know another one, actually, because she was on a big song for a group that you have had, and I probably would have had
a feature in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll see. Yeah. We'll see. So, yeah. Sometimes names don't stick with me. We know that. So yeah. I will let you know next week whether I knew any of them.
So I'll just quickly go through them again. Alison Moyet, Natalie Cole, Tracy Ullman, Kirsty McCall, Jennifer Warnes, Tracy, and Phyllis Nelson. They will be the ones we will discuss next week. Mm-hmm. I shall send you the songs over.
Yes,
and we'll look forward to it. And hopefully, because there's 7,
you might
we have more hits than misses, because it's an odd number. So it can't be like 3 and 3 like it has been recently.
No, you've had big hits this recently.
Last week was four out of six last week, sorry.
I was going to say, you've been doing well, and the week before that, I'm sure it was 5 out of 6.
Yeah, it was 5 out of 6.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You've been doing
Eastern,
well. So.
Yeah.
So
it's only Liza Minnelli didn't like.
Yeah. So
last week was...
But then you could
Nicole
be on your downfall.
And you Donna Summer, surprisingly.
You could be on your downfall.
Okay.
All right then.
I'll get those songs to you and
we'll
discuss next week.
Yes, we will. All right, Dad.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Dad.